Hello and welcome to Crime Express, your favorite podcast about crimes and their backgrounds. So, I had a really hard time choosing the topic for today's episode, but I think I have found just the right one. I'm talking about Fyre Festival, and maybe you have already heard of it, because at the time it happened, it was just all over the news, and I personally had a feeling that everyone around me was talking about it. Oh yeah, and not to spoil anything, but after I present the case, there will be a short interview with a special guest, and yes, I am really excited about that. So let's start. 2017. John Dykert was scrolling through Instagram when he saw the marketing promotion for the Fyre Festival, a luxury music festival on a Bahamian island founded by Billy McFarland and rapper Ja Rule. There was a 2-minute teaser video showing beautiful models, Bella Hadid and Kendall Jenner, just two of them, yacht parties and bright blue waters. It seemed like all of it could be his if he bought a ticket. So he did. And not only he, but also 5,000 other people all around the world. The whole time, none of them really knew what they were getting into. On a drive through the airport, John and his friends, who also decided to go, were making jokes that they were going to show up and no one would be there. They arrived at the same time that almost everyone from Fyre Festival was showing up, so that was a good sign. But already it wasn't quite how they had described it. They promised private planes, but it was just a normal airline with a bunch of people on it. They were promised a limo, but a really junky bus picked them up. Because there were only 2 Fyre Festival employees telling everyone what to do, a bunch of people didn't know what to do. They got to the gate and that's when rumors started popping up. Blink 182, the main band, had apparently cancelled, but most of them still figured some other bands would be there. They pulled up in this bus to what looked like a war zone. Their extravagant cabins were FEMA tents, meant for people whose homes got destroyed by natural disasters. It was just a bunch of igloos on a massive plot land, close to the water, not a great spot on the island at all. In some way it looked like the Hunger Games. People were running around everywhere, screaming, "Turn around, don't get off the bus." Billy McFarland was standing on a table, trying to delegate. All the furniture that was supposed to go in the tents was in IKEA boxes. It wasn't set up yet. They told the people to pick their own tent and then tell the organizers the number. In the meantime, they were giving everyone 3 bottles of tequila to distract them from the chaos around. They were trying to calm people, but it didn't really work. Like the actual Hunger Games, people were fighting for tents, ripping mattresses out of them and bringing them to other tents to fit more people. John and his friends went back to tell the employees their number, but no one was there, so it didn't matter. After that, they talked to some other people who loaded $11,000 into their festival bracelet to buy food and experiences, since it was a cashless festival. A lot of them were afraid they wouldn't get the money back. Everyone was freaking out. 2 trucks pulled up with tons of suitcases on the back, that they then dumped in a pile on the ground. People were sprinting over and looking through the bags. There was no security guard, so people were just scrounging, probably stealing things. Even the bars and the snack shops that were supposed to be set up in a really cool way were halfway done. There was almost no food or water. A ton of people immediately left that day. Either they flew back on a private jet, or they'd come on yachts and left, or went back to the airport. Late at night, they got the first email apologizing from Fyre Festival, saying it was cancelled and they were going to work as soon as they could to get everyone off the island. That was the end of Fire Festival, the biggest and best festival that never really happened. In the aftermath, the creators Billy McFarland and rapper Ja Rule were hit with a massive 100 million class action lawsuit on behalf of attendees who endured a lack of food, clean water and shelter to the festival's location. They were accused of breach of contract, negligence, misrepresentation and fraud. McFarland was sentenced to 6 years in federal prison and $26 million in restitution. So that was the case. What did you think about it? I personally was really shocked when I first heard about a fire festival. I think it's a very big tragedy that a lot of people who worked for it just didn't get paid. It's especially sad for the locals, the Bahamians, who did a lot of work building up stages and tents. They didn't get any money, so they just wasted their time, probably 5 or 6 months. To get a bit more information and just understand what exactly went wrong, I asked Luisa Maximova, an experienced transport logist, some questions. What were the main issues of Fire Festival?
Many of the problems could have been overcome by a better organization and understanding of its supply chain. The fact that they chose a remote island, which was meant to be the attraction, was a major issue. They didn't think of the logistics of actually executing an event on that island where there was zero infrastructure. The plan was to import absolutely everything, from portable toilets to water, which was a logistical nightmare. Then they moved the festival to a bigger island, and it happened to be the same week as the biggest event on that island, the regatta. So almost all hotels were full.
How does the planning of an event this big usually looks like?
The reality is that they didn't realize how big a job it was to plan this type of event. They announced it 5 months in advance, and to execute an event like this on the mainland is a 12-month exercise. They had no experience. You've got to have accommodation for guests, stuff, and entertainment, but you've got to plan for the right amount of food, water, and facilities, such as toilets, that need to be imported. You can work out a schedule of when these things need to be added and what they're going to cost. It's really a budgeting exercise based on demand to work out the supplies required in order to plan where that supply comes from and when it needs to be at the specific venue.
That sounds logical. Looking to the future, what would you say we learned from this?
Social media gives companies the ability to create a perception of being much bigger, organized, or capable than they are in some cases. You have to have processes that deliver on your promises, and that's the key. You will get found out if you cannot deliver what the customer is expecting. So I'm hopeful that whether in the event planning space, digital marketing, or any other vertical event organizers and logistics coordinators at every point on the supply chain have learned lessons of Fire Festival. Plan effectively, leverage technology, budget transparently, and perhaps most importantly, don't promise the world and then deliver a cheese sandwich in a hurricane tent.
This was it, the first episode of Crime Express. I really hope you enjoyed it and see you next time.